Well, hello and welcome to ASI Cast episode 187. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director. Now, Barb, the TV and video currency body here in the UK, recently announced that it would be working with MediaSense to build a Barb data hub at the centre of the currency. Now, this is a really significant development. So today I've got two guests with me to unpack this. Firstly, I've got Khaled Al-Sarafi, who's Barb's head of data science, and Sam Tomlinson, who's Chief Client Officer at MediaSense. So, firstly, perhaps Sam, Barb will be well known, I think, to the ASI community, but MediaSense perhaps less so. What's your area of expertise?
Yeah, so here at MediaSense, we are global media advisors. We work with both marketers as and media owners, and within that, we have an audiences team who specialize in helping media owners get the most from their audience data, both generating audience data and reporting it. Specifically in the UK, we bring a really deep understanding of Barb data and the underlying calculation methodologies, and we combine that with excellence in data engineering. And those two things, knowledge of the Barb data plus data engineering, mean we can develop pretty sort of easy to use solutions to what are underlying very sophisticated challenges.
Obviously, one of those solutions is the Barb Data Hub. So, Carla, perhaps you can tell listeners and viewers what was the main purpose of the Barb Data Hub? What's its principal objective? What role is it going to be playing for Barb?
The Data Hub, the main purpose is to support really Barb's wider data distribution strategy, which itself has three objectives. So the first one of them is to make Barb data easier to access and easier to use, so simplifying how Barb data is accessed and used. The second objective is to offer more choice in how you can access the data. And the third would be to reduce duplication of databases and code bases.
Now, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And we've discussed, not least at ASI over the last few years, the degree to which the industry may be moving more towards the centralized access to databases, as opposed to, as you were saying there, sending large respondent level databases out to multiple users. What are the main benefits of that more centralized approach? I guess the benefits for the clients, but also what are the main benefits for Barb as well in moving towards that? I guess that's a question for either or both of you.
I would say you get so I guess first of all I would say that it's because it's like a maybe the closest concept to it for those in data engineering would be like a data warehouse. So just to kind of make it a bit more relatable, it is in a way just a data warehouse. So you get a lot of the benefits that you get there from centralizing things. To talk a bit more specific details, there's a benefit in having a central place where you store Barb data in a standard way and then also process and clean it so it's ready for analysis in a central place, because you can reuse a lot of the same code. So it means that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time we, from a Barb point of view, work with a new vendor. We don't have to then figure out some of the basic ways that you have to process and prepare Barb data for analysis, almost regardless of what you're going to do with it. And you can almost extend that to the wider industry too, in terms of being able to reuse some of those software assets. It gives you also a single source of truth, because you might find that those parts of the Barb calculation procedure that are preparing data for analysis or even applying some analysis, not only are they being repeated and redone, but they might be being done in a slightly different way, interpreted in a slightly different way. And so I would say those are some of the main benefits. I don't know, Sam, if you've got anything to add.
Yeah, I might just build on that, where you talked about the sort of single source of truth and the importance of consistency in calculations. One of the things that we've seen through our work is that you will find occasions when two different Barb bureaus have differing interpretations of the way that the Barb methodology has been explained. And having one central source like the Barb Data Hub means you will get fewer of those instances where two bureaus are interpreting the methodology in different ways.
Yeah, because I guess at the moment, Barb, if Barb makes a change to the databases that are being distributed, that's got implications for each of the bureau, and then also they're applying, the gold standards in terms of how the data should be processed. I guess particularly with things to do with reach and frequency build up and stuff like that. So I can see it makes a lot of sense in terms of not having to have the same things being done multiple times in different locations, but being centralized. So, in terms of, I guess this is always a tricky conceptual thing. I mean, we talked about, potentially the idea of, there being a data lake, as it were, that where all this stuff is stored. But in practical terms, how are you at MediaSense constructing the Barb Data Hub? I know that Snowflake are also involved. So who does what in terms of building, if that's the right word, physically or in the cloud, building this data hub?
I think building is a good term. So, Snowflake are the platform provider. So they are hosting the data hub, and they're providing advice to our team at MediaSense on how to some of the sort of technical aspects of their platform and how we can make the most from it. But yeah, think of Snowflake as the platform provider, and then we at MediaSense, we're actually kind of building the data hub. So it's our team of data engineers who are writing the code and building that data hub in Snowflake's environment. So Snowflake provides the platform, we do the build. And in terms of what the actual data hub will look like, it's constructed in what is often called a sort of medallion structure. So you have bronze, which is broadly the raw data that we receive from Kantar. You've got silver, which is where you've applied certain enrichments, transformations, something like channel mappings. And then you have gold, which is the outputs, specifically the DB2 files that will be delivered to the industry. So bronze, raw data, silver, enriched, gold, the outputs.
Okay, I guess one of the things that's going to be most interesting about this is the terminology that's being used, because you talked about being distributed to the industry. Does this effectively signal a move away from literally Barb sending out a respondent level database to, and it's not just the bureau, I think, who get the what used to be called the data tapes, but the actual databases. I know some of the agencies and broadcasters get their own things to put into their own systems as well. Do you think in the medium term this is about moving away from distributing databases to effectively establishing Barb APIs, where effectively a dashboard remotely will request data that would be processed in the hub itself, as opposed to being processed it by the bureau itself? Because that seems to me quite a significant shift in the whole way in which the distribution of data, certainly for Barb, has worked up to now.
Yeah, I think I would say this overarching data distribution strategy, the focus is very much on giving users more choice. So you can get the data directly from Barb, or you can be working with one of the bureau as it's always been the case, and that will continue to be the case. So the focus is definitely on having more choices, but then and then also on having more I guess modern options for how you would receive those. I mean, you said the word data tapes, which kind of hints at some legacy, perhaps outdated mechanisms for how data is moved from one place to another and in what format it is. And it helps to have things in a more modern format because you can make use of the latest technologies that make things simpler and easier, and also engineers will kind of know, it'll be familiar to an engineer. And yeah, so users will have the option to ingest data directly into their dashboards via the API or via the Data Hub. That is the case, and we're working to make that better, I can say.
Yeah, so I guess that's going to be reassuring for those, the bureau and those bulk clients who do currently receive the database, that you're not going to suddenly switch that off and say you must use the Barb Data Hub exclusively. So from what you're saying, it's an option. I guess the looking in the longer term, there have been discussions, not least at ASI, about the privacy issues around distributing respondent level data sets in terms of when you are starting to fuse into those data sets actual census level data from and we're veering into Barb Panel Plus, but that I guess we're talking at the moment, they are very much connected. But when you're putting in real viewing patterns, that the opportunity potentially for people to actually identify people within the database might increase, which I guess in the long term might be an argument why the direction of travel probably is more towards centralizing the data storage and distribution rather than having respondent level databases floating about. I mean, is privacy one of the drivers behind this initiative?
Yeah, I think it's part of the picture. I mean, I was talking earlier about having more modern options for receiving the data and just having kind of a technological update side of things. But then, as a matter of principle, Barb does have 100% focus on protecting the anonymity of panel homes, and so that technology. It's obviously a double-edged sword because also the technologies that you can use to kind of reverse engineer panelists using your own first-party data has also been updating. So you have to kind of keep up with it in that sense too. So it's also 100% of focus to make sure that that's not possible and that we're sort of doing everything we can to keep up with that side of where technology's headed too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Assume that at the moment, certainly back in my day when I was involved in such things, the Barb daily processing was done by the contractors for the panel on their own servers, and then obviously the results sent through to Barb. Could you envisage a situation, particularly when you're with Barb Panel Plus, you're ingesting large return path data sets, that the processing might actually be done on Barb's own servers as opposed in the first place? In other words, the data, some aspects of the data don't actually leave Barb, but the contractors go into the Barb Data Hub to do the processing on your servers. Or am I reading too much into this?
It's possible. I mean, I think, as you said, some aspects it's possible that it could go in that direction, but I think the devil's in the details with it. On a high level, I think we see the future as one where where users continue to have the choice either to go directly to get the data from Barb or to work with one of the bureau, and that will continue to be a healthy ecosystem. But it's possible some aspects will be almost surfaced in a more processed or a more in a more processed state.
Now, Barb have had two other tenders going on. It's been quite a busy few months for you because you've got the Barb Campaign Hub, which I think was announced in the last couple of weeks that RSMB are going to be building, which is, as I understand it, bringing together the CFlight campaign reporting and the Barb cross-channel planner into a centralized dashboard or piece of software. And then there's also Barb Panel Plus, which you spoke a bit about the ASI. I guess a question for both of you. I'm assuming that the data hub is probably a pretty key building block of both of those other initiatives, that these three tender processes are interlinked to a certain degree.
Yeah, absolutely. The ultimate vision is that for upcoming projects like Barb Panel Plus and Total Campaign Reporting Suite, that it might be different vendors doing them, but the processing should be happening within the data hub. So we'll be working closely with the likes of RSMB on the projects that they've been appointed to.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess the other final question would be, looking forward, what further developments are there in mind, do you think, coming down the track? Is the clear direction of travel now towards moving towards this more centralized approach to data processing distribution? Are there other initiatives linked to this that we may be hearing about in the next few months?
I guess there's one that I can kind of hint at, which is because we in the sense of looking at I keep saying more modern options to how you can receive BARB data and making that process simpler for how you can access and how you can use it. One thing that we're exploring at the moment in early stages is doing direct shares via Snowflake, but also via other cloud marketplaces. So in the sense that you can go on to, let's say you're on the AWS cloud, there'll be like a little cloud marketplace, almost like the App Store, something like that, where you can download or immediately get access to a data set. And it's sort of an easy way to quickly get access to it. So we're looking at that as an option for in addition to the API for receiving BARB data. So that's one kind of thing I can hint at, I guess.
Is that maybe confusing it with something else? Is that related to, there's a lot of talk at the moment about clean rooms for the exchange of data. I know that that may be something that Barb, I think I've heard Justin talk about that. That's certainly something you're looking at. But is do you think clean room? Perhaps we should clarify for listeners what a clean room is. And I don't know. Is that something that's on your radar?
Yeah, well, with the clean room, it's a. I think I would define it probably as a special type of that kind of data share, where you're not. Let's say it's not that you're simply making it easy to move data from point A to point B, so you can just get the BARB data in a nice format pretty easily. But the clean room is a special case where we're actually having we're both. Both parties are sharing their data into this protected, closed-off environment. That's why it's called the clean room. And that data can potentially be including personally identifiable information that neither party can share with the other. So you don't want either of them to see it, but it goes in there. And what gets shared back out to the parties is an aggregate version that is privacy safe. So it's a way to kind of look at trends in aggregate that allow you to make use of potentially personally identifiable information without compromising at all on anonymity and privacy. It's something that we don't have like a concrete plan or use case for at the moment, but definitely something we've explored in the past and have done proof of concept on in the past with InfoSum and it could be on the roadmap in the future.
Cool. Well, thanks, Sam, and thanks, Khaled. And we'll look forward to seeing how this develops over the next few months and years. Not just for Barb, I think, but I definitely get the impression, speaking to other JICs and currencies around the world, that there's a clear feeling that a more centralized approach to how data is processed and distributed is the way to go. So, in that sense, I think there'll be a lot of people looking at what you're doing as the canary in the coal mine, if that phrase works, for to see how well it's working. So hopefully we'll have you back on in a year or two, where you can be updating us. In the meantime, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.